Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
It is so good to have all of you here in the house at Pinnacle Hears. We're also Pinnacle Hills, that is. It's called you Pinnacle Hears, Pinnacle Hills. And we're also glad to welcome our 11 a.m. Fayetteville service. Why don't all of us here at Pinnacle welcome our Fayetteville family to the day? Now, we have also people who are watching online. We're glad that you have joined us here as well for what we are calling Legacy Sunday. And a few times a year, we do what we're doing today, where we all link up across the campuses via technology, and we've just made a day of it. I began the service down there at Fayetteville at the 8 o'clock service, and the Lord is still awake at 8 o'clock, by the way. And we had a great service there. Then I was at Springdale and then drove up for this last service here at Pinnacle Hills. And so how about we just make a deal together here and at Fayetteville, last service, best service? We okay with that? There we go. And man, we've had a fantastic day. If you got a Bible, grab it and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to get there in just a minute. I wanted to speak to the whole church on one day. That's why we've done what we've done today. If you're brand new to our church, this is a lot. So just bear with us for a little bit. It's actually a great day for you to be here because you're going to hear over and over about how God is working through this church to make a difference around the world. But beyond that, man, we just want you to sit back and relax. We don't expect anything of you today other than just to have a great experience. For our regular attenders and members, we've been talking to you about this day. At the end of our service today, we'll have the opportunity to give together today. I have my check and my coat here today. I'll turn it into Pinnacle Hills as a part of the Pinnacle Hills campus today. And really excited about what God is going to do through today. And we've not set a money goal for this offering today, but we have set a participation goal. We would love for everybody to do something. As I was leaving the house today, I talked with our two youngest kids who are 8 and 6, and I said, hey, did y'all decide what you're going to do for the Decade of Love offering? And they were both giving $5 today for the Decade of Love offering, which is what we want. You know, we want to teach our children that they can make a difference with their money. It's not about them. It's about the kingdom of God. And so we're hoping to model that for the church today in general, that that all of us would teach our kids how it is to be generous towards the kingdom of God. Let me answer two questions that if I was in your shoes, I'd probably be asking, especially if I was newer to the church. I'd be asking, what is the Decade of Love and why are we giving a special offering towards it? Like, I know we give every single week of our tithes and offerings. Why a special offering that's different than that today? Let me try to answer both of those in a quick manner, okay? The Decade of Love is our 10-year vision of how we are going to fulfill our mission of reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. This is not a new mission. This has been the mission of this church for decades. And the Decade of Love is not replacing that. The Decade of Love is basically the how of how are we going to go about that over the next 10 years of fulfilling our mission of reaching people. So let me very quickly walk through the L-O-V-E. The L stands for legacy. We want to do everything we can in our power over the next 10 years to reach the next generation and to position the church for the future. The O stands for obedience to Christ's commission. It's our desire to reach people locally in our nation and around the world with the gospel. And we have set a goal of planting 10 churches in strategic cities around America and the world. We've already planted 2. Today, I'm announcing our 3rd, which is really exciting. We've had a goal of sending 50 missionaries from our church out to the nations. Here's the cool thing. 13 months in, God has already sent 8 people of the 50 out into the nation. So we're excited about that. For sure. Let's clap for that. And then we have a goal of sending 2,000 of you somewhere on a mission trip around the world throughout the next 10 years. Now with COVID looking like it's moving into a new season, that will become more and more a reality for us. The V stands for vulnerable. We want to love the vulnerable amongst us. We want to meet both their spiritual and physical needs. Right from the book of Matthew, we are focusing on the poor, the hungry, the sick, the immigrant, and the prisoner. We'll talk a lot about that today. And then the E stands for equipping and encouraging pastors and missionaries. We're 151 years old as a church. Isn't that cool? And God's done a whole lot in our church over these 150 plus years. And it's our duty to just now pour that out to other churches. We are not in competition with other churches. We are on the same team with other churches. We have a kingdom mindset, and we want to do all that we can to help encourage and equip others. So that's a very quick display of that. Let me answer the second question of why are we taking a special offering today towards the Decade of Love. There's really two reasons why we're doing that. Number one is this. It's just the element of stewardship. Stewardship. The Bible talks a lot about money. The Bible talks a lot about stewardship, how we handle that money. And we fully believe what the Bible teaches. So we believe in tithing. We believe in giving over and above a tithe and being generous. In fact, throughout the history of this church, we have given generously above and beyond our normal tithes here to do special things like build buildings or for certain initiatives. Like you're sitting in a building here at Pinnacle Hills and you're sitting in a building there at Fayetteville, who at some point in the church's history, they said, you know what? We need a building to help house more people on Sunday morning. And people that you didn't even know, who you will never meet, gave generously so that you would have a place to come and worship. Pretty cool, okay? One of the things that those emphases really help us with is it allows you to grow in your stewardship. So when Meredith and I gave, for instance, to the We Believe campaign to help build the building at Fayetteville, it stretched us in ways that we had never been stretched before. We said for 3 years, we're gonna go above and beyond what we normally give and give above that. It's interesting, about 6 weeks ago, had a conversation with a couple that now used to attend to Fayetteville, but now attends Pinnacle Hills. They went through the We Believe campaign with us, and they said, Nick, the We Believe campaign changed our life. So there's just something unique when you just take God at his word and you're just serious about stewardship, that God does a special work in our hearts. And so our plan is to do this offering once a year right around this time. And we hope that you will join us in that on an annual basis. If I could speak spiritually to you for a moment, greed is very natural to my heart. How about yours? Like when I have money, I think, well, I'm going to get a hold of this money. I want to keep this money. And there's something about generosity that is supernatural. When you have your hands open before the Lord, that's a very supernatural thing that God is doing in your heart. And so some of you today will give over and above what you normally give to the Decade of Love today. Others of you, honestly, have been giving all year long over and above towards the Decade of Love. Both are great on-ramps to living a life of generosity. So we're doing this for stewardship, number one. Number two, we're doing this because we can accelerate the vision today. It's all about acceleration. I want to be just crystal clear with you. When you give of your normal tithes to our church, like my family, Meredith and I do direct deposit. Whenever we get paid, you know, our tithe goes here to our church. And I want to be very clear. When my family gives, when your family gives to the ministry budget, you are already giving towards the Decade of Love. Everybody clear on that? Like you're already giving towards the Decade of Love. When we got out of debt last December, much of that money that we were spending on debt has been transferred to take care of these four different lanes of love that I just walked through in the ministries that are coherent with these. What we're talking about today is this. We can accelerate the vision together. As you heard me on the video, I said that at some point, and they took it and made a video out of it. But we do have a plan to plant 10 churches. And we are two down, announcing a third today, and we're 13 months in. So we can do more if there's money there. We have more in our heart to do for the vulnerable and for encouraging and equipping pastors, and we'll do more if there's money there. There's more things that we can do to reach the next generation if there is money there. And so if you don't get anything else today, other than what I'm about to say, I want you to make sure and get this. I believe there's aspects of the Decade of Love that we didn't plan for and we could have never dreamed for, and yet because God's people have given, it's going to happen. Said in a different way, I could say it this way, there are things that we're not even thinking about right now that will happen in the future, and this church can give an immediate yes to that thing because God's people gave today. So things are going to happen in these two rooms today and on over the internet, online today, that will affect the future of this church. And we'll talk more about that as we go on today. And so if you have been here for any period of time, you know throughout the years, throughout the calendar year, we ask for special offerings towards something like camp scholarships in May and June to send kids to camp. We asked for, right about this time, we asked for offerings towards giving towards blessing baskets, which we'll do in 2 weeks from today. And so what our goal is to do most, if not all, of these offerings throughout the year, all in one, and one annual offering towards the vision of the church, the decade of love. Make sense? I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you can tell, today's not a normal day. This will not be a normal sermon, but I thought this passage was such a great launching pad into what God has done over the last year and what I believe God wants us to do in the future together. Look down at verse 14 with me. The Bible says this, "For the love of Christ controls us." I would underline or circle that word controls, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I told you to underline that word. The word control here carries the idea of being held together. So literally the love of Christ holds us together, and it compels us to do certain things. And think about the connection here, okay? We are controlled by the love of Christ. Why? It's because of something. Because we believe that Jesus died for all people so that all people might find life in him. Church, do we believe that message today? If there's one thing that we do hold to as a church, it's that right there. Jesus Christ died for the world. Anybody who repents of their sin, believes in the Lord Jesus, can find real life in him. People hear the word love sometimes and they think it's like soft towards truth. Well, it's just that mushy-gushy kind of love stuff. And I'm a truth person. I'm a truth teller. Well, here the Bible, as it should be, it links these two things together inseparably. That love and truth go together. Why do we love people? Why are we compelled and controlled to love other people? It's because we believe the truth of the gospel. We believe that Jesus really did live, that he really did rise, and so that he really lived, that he really died, and that he really did rise again from the grave. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time is talk about how that verse has played out in the life of this church over the last year. And how do we see this playing out in the years to come right here in the church? I'm going to walk back through the L-O-V-E. I'm going to share with you some exciting, exciting things. I think you're going to walk away today, feeling very proud to be a part of our church, not in a bad way, but in a way that says, God, wow, look at all that he has done. So let's look at the L today as we get started. Let's talk about legacy. One of the major things that we did this first year of the Decade of Love, like as soon as we got debt free, as we got into the new year, we said, okay, let's invest in every one of our next-gen facilities at Cross Church. And so you'll see a quick video here. This is the kids' space at Springdale. We did the biggest renovation there, not been touched in about 10 years or so. And so we did a lot of fun things there, even a fun little slide right here. This is the brand new playground at Fayetteville. My Fayetteville peeps, what's up? First outdoor playground in 10 years that church has had. And then right here at Pinnacle Hills, this one's in progress, as you may have seen, parents. We're just giving it a fresh new look up there. Some of this is still to come. And so we just said, listen, we're debt-free. Let's invest in reaching the next generation immediately here. And here's the greatest news of all. Because of your faithful giving and generous giving to the ministry budget, we did all of this with cash, completely debt-free. Can I get an amen, church? The other side of this legacy component is preparing the church for the future financially. And we've done a lot of things along the way in relation to that. One of those things is you saw Buster here. He was at the 8 o'clock as well. Buster's our associate pastor. He works with our legacy team. We've created a legacy team. There are some of you who you just love to give. You have the gift of giving. And you say, Nick, I just want my money to count for the kingdom of God. Give me opportunities. Give me things that we can contribute towards. And you're a part of the legacy team already. But I have the unique role and weight and burden, I would say, as the senior pastor of the church to prepare the church for the future financially. And I really do carry that as a very important thing for me to do as a part of my own stewardship of this church. And I hope this encourages you that we, alongside of our pastor's council is a group that surrounds me, related to the vision of the church, future of the church, finances of the church, a group of laymen and staff. And I just want you to know that we are stewarding your money well that you give to us in the ministry budget so that we can take care of not only today, but also the future. We are intentionally creating space right now for the future so that when God brings about certain things or certain needs in the church or beyond, we can absolutely say yes in a heartbeat because we prepare the church for the future financially. A part of what we're giving today towards in the L is camp scholarships. If there's one way that this church has reached kids and students over decades and decades and decades, it has been summer camp. And so we always ask for camp scholarships, like I said, come May or June. Today, we're just asking you to give to this offering, and we're hoping that that covers the need for the summer here. We don't ever want finances to be a reason that a kid does not go to camp. We offer full scholarships at times. We offer partial scholarships, and we want to continue to do that in an effective manner. Now, this was interesting. 2 weeks ago, I led the pastor's conference of our Arkansas Baptist State Convention, and we were down in Cabot, Arkansas. Any Cabot people in the house today? There we go. Yeah, Wiley, there you go. We got a few Cabot people today. And we began the conference with a luncheon. There was probably 200 pastors and church leaders, lay leaders from their churches. And we built the lunch around reaching the next generation. And in the middle of the lunch, I asked them, I was interviewing a speaker, and I said, now listen, I said, how many of you in the room were either were saved either as a kid or as a teenager, and over 90% of that room raised their hands. So you've heard the stats about, man, if we want to reach people, we need to reach them before they're 18 years old. That room signified that and magnified that with an exclamation point. And we are going to do all that we can over the next 10 years to reach the preschoolers, kids, and teenagers and college students that are under our care. Now, the group right above that 18 is our college ministry. I'm going to welcome Luke Harper to the stage today. Luke's our college pastor, and Luke was one of our student pastors, so he understands the value of camp scholarships. But one of the cool things that Luke does is every Wednesday night, he preaches at our Fayetteville campus, and there are hundreds and hundreds, last I heard this semester, there were about 700 college students meeting at the Fayetteville campus on Wednesday night. We're literally two turns right there at the Fayetteville campus from the U of A. Luke is the one who leads that. And part of what we're giving towards today is what an event we're calling C3 at the Greek Theater. We've done this for several years now. And we basically take the college ministry to kick off the year to the actual campus of the university. And this past year, we saw about 1,900 college students at that kickoff event. Luke's going to talk a little bit more about that and what your generosity will be able to accomplish.
Yeah, church family, it is such a privilege to get to celebrate what God's doing here because it allows us to do things like C3 at the Greek. We've been doing this for years now, and every single year, like Nick said, we've had somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 college students show up at the first Wednesday in August of the fall semester when everybody's back in town. We host a service in that amphitheater on campus, and just floods of students come to the amphitheater, and it's really cool for me in my position to watch like our college students from Cross Church run into fraternity houses, sorority houses, dorm hallways, and say, "Hey, you got to come down here and check out what we're doing down here at the Greek Theater." And for years, our college ministry has celebrated stories from the baptistry of college students who, just because they live in close proximity to that amphitheater, they give their life to Christ that night. And so we've seen literally hundreds of college students baptized, even months later, as we're still trying to get to know some of the freshmen who've made Cross Church home. They say, "Man, my first impression of my church family was when I walked downstairs and saw something happening at the Greek Theater and decided to join in." And so today, you guys, as we partner together to see the Decade of Love offering happen, we are literally giving to the college. I stand in representation of the college students that will walk onto the Greek Theater next year. And as a result of what they hear and the experience that we are able to give them, they will be better dads, better mothers, better husbands, better fathers, because they encounter Jesus at the Greek Theater. And so I know it's easy for us to see that event and say, "Man, that's amazing that many college students would show up at that location." But even more so, we see the ripple effects through the rest of the year because of what we are able to do at the Greek Theater every year. And so thank you guys so much for giving, because it allows us to just see life change in that incredible way.
That's great. Thank you, Luke. That may really touch your heart today, and you say, well, man, I'm gonna give the day of love offering just so I can see college students meet Jesus. Here's my encouragement to you. If that touches your heart, don't just give to it, but next August, drive down to the University of Arkansas and stand on the outer ring of the amphitheater. If you stand on the inner ring, you feel really old, but stand on the outer ring, and you'll be moved to tears seeing nearly 2,000 college students hearing the word of God and hearing the gospel all through the ministry of our church. So thank you, church, for your generosity there. Let's talk about the obedience to Christ's commission. This is all about the Great Commission of Jesus. And let me teach you church for a second, okay? There are many churches that do not have a balanced approach to missions. And I say it to you this way. Our mission statement, reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ, is intentional. That comes from Acts 1:8. Local, national, and global, and there are churches that they do a lot of stuff overseas in missions, but they've not seen anybody saved and baptized in the last 3 years in their own church, or vice versa. They reach a ton of people locally, but they're not doing anything across the world in missions. We don't want to be either one of those, okay? We want to reach people locally in our own state and nation and around the world. And one time, Pastor Johnny Hunt said it this way. He said, the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. So if we want to be a missions kind of church, where does it all begin? It begins right here in Rogers and Bentonville, Arkansas, right there in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Springdale, Arkansas. It begins right here, and we take the gospel to the world from right here. And we've seen that happen over the last 12 months. Can I just rewind, and let's just think back to what God has done in reaching people locally over the last year. Yeah, I know we've been in revival as a church. And this began as we were bringing in Robbie Gallaty to preach on May 2nd, and we were really just praying for a move of God on that day. We prepared you for that. Man, bring people who don't know Christ. Bring yourself. Be ready to see God move. And the Wednesday night preceding May 2nd, God began to move. And Luke, who was just up here, was preaching at our Fayetteville campus, and he was preaching right to those hundreds of college students, and he gave them the gospel and gave them a chance to be baptized immediately, and 32 college students on a whim. I think they had some of them planned ahead, and then the rest of them were just on a whim, decided to be baptized that night. And so we began to just experience, okay, Lord, you're doing something here. We got to May 2nd, and if you remember May 2nd, it was an outpouring of God like I've never seen before or since in my life. 211 people baptized on one day. You say, well, Nick, what has God done since that day? Can I give you just a little picture from April 28th of this year through this last Sunday? We have seen 772 people be baptized. Isn't that awesome? You know, it was so crazy right there on May 2nd and the days and weeks to come after that, that maybe you've even wondered this question. I've wondered this question. Well, Lord, is the revival over? Like, is it over? And let me just bring you into just a typical week last week at our church. We baptized 12 people last week. Our kickoff Sunday is in August. That's when the church calendar year begins and when we begin to track things for the new year. This time last year, from kickoff Sunday to this Sunday, we had baptized 42 people last year. You fast forward this year, we have seen 127 people baptized in that same amount of time. So God is doing some stuff, okay? We're reaching people locally. Last September, we also announced to you our intention to plant 10 churches in strategic cities around America and the world. God has already allowed us to plant Redeemer Queens Park in London, England. We have planted with Pastor Doug Hickson in Denver, Colorado. They're in the early stages of theirs. And today, probably the most exciting thing we get to announce today is the city and planter of our third church plant. But before we even go there, this is a long, long story, okay? And we got to go back 20 to 21, 22 years in the history of our church to see what God is doing now in a different city in America. So, y'all watch the screens.
Hi, I'm Pastor John of the Keystone Fellowship in the greater Philadelphia area, called City of Brotherly love. I'm coming to you today because of just your impact upon my life, upon my family's life, and upon this church's life. And I got the impact as serving there as your student pastor for about 8 years in the 90s. Yeah, in the 90s. Pastor Nick Floyd and Pastor Ryan, they were students. They were little sixth and seventh graders. But look what they're doing now. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, too, because not only did you make an impact while I was there, but you've made an impact here. See, when God called us to Philadelphia, we knew we needed partners. We knew we needed someone to come alongside and help us. And you did that. I remember when we came up here and there was nobody part of a group, no Bible study. We didn't know anyone. And I knew we needed a lot of prayer. So I called Pastor Ronnie with that. I said, Ronnie, would you commit to pray for us and what we're doing here for the next year? And Ronnie said, yes, no doubt I'll do that. I didn't know that for several months later, he would call again and say, not only have I been praying for you, but we are committed to come alongside you financially, and we want to send some teams up. And you guys did that. And because of what you did in that partnership back in 2001, 2002, not only is there one church here in the Greater Philly area, but six, and we're looking at going to church number seven here very, very soon. But I want to say congratulations to Pastor Nick and the Cross Church family there, because I know that you have a theme, an initiative, a great commission. It's called the Decade of Love. And I know your goal is to start 10 churches over the next 10 years. I know that you've already started a church in London, England. You started a church in Denver, Colorado. And I understand you're about to start a third church. You guys are going to come alongside and start a church in one of the fastest growing, most diverse cities in America. And I want to say again, I believe this. I believe you guys are going to do more than 10 churches in the next 10 years. God bless you and shalom from the city of brotherly love.
Really, really cool story. I'll come back to Pastor John here in just a moment, but let me go ahead and announce without any further ado, the location of our third church plant will be located in Orlando, Florida. Like that. Watch that video all week long. I love that. And here's the incredible thing. You got to go way back. 20 plus years ago, right here in Northwest Arkansas, this church made a decision. Yeah, we're going to financially invest in a church plant that just needs help and to get off the ground. So we planted a church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And here's the incredible thing is that now this church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, our church planter is coming from that city all the way down to Orlando, Florida. So here's what you got to understand. This is a grandchild church of Cross Church. So we planted the parent. Now the parent's having a baby. They're having it in Florida, okay? And the story keeps even getting better and better. Our third church planter is here today. He is the son of Pastor John Cope, and he's here today to talk to us about Orlando. Pastor J.D., why don't you come up here? Pastor J.D. Cope, y'all welcome him. So this is really, really incredible when you think about it. So because Pastor John was our student pastor years ago, JD and I grew up at certain parts of our childhood together, and we ran this show in the church, baby, back in the day.
Until we got caught,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And so I think we actually have an old picture of me and you and Ryan. Look at this picture here.
There we go.
That's Ryan on the left, then me with a sweet bowl cut.
It's a good leg extension.
One of our friends, and then JD here on the end. And so I know I'm joking about it, but church, think about this. This is the beauty of the local church. We play the long game here. There were people investing in John David Cope, JD Cope, 20 to 30 years ago in Sunday school classes, teaching him. And that's happening all over the room right now. You have no idea who the crazy kids you're with right now, what they might turn out to be. And so they might be at a church plant. So JD, people hear Orlando and they think, well, okay, that's Disney World. And, you know, are there lost people around there? Is it all the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, well, it is the Magic Kingdom. And yes. We thought you should have that.
Yes. So when you come visit us. Look at that right there.
It's, yeah. Personalized for you too.
That's beautiful. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So talk about why Orlando.
So other than the Magic Kingdom, there's a whole lot of other things going on. Orlando, the area, I know you guys have seen a ton of growth in Northwest Arkansas. It's amazing to come back. But I want you to imagine the entire population of all of Northwest Arkansas over a 10-year period moving to one city. And that's what's happened in Orlando. It's grown by over 500,000 people over the last 10 years. It's now the number 9 most unchurched city in all of America. And it's also, at the same time, it's the number 6 de-churched, people that have left the churched cities in all of America. Within a mile and a half of my house, they've got a mosque where 3,000 people can come and pray at one time. You've got a Hindu temple, and you've also got a synagogue. You've got to drive at least 5 miles before you can reach the first evangelical church anywhere near us. And I'm right in the heart of kind of where everybody, all of you, would come to visit. It's amazing. That's why we need a ton of churches in that area, but that's why we're going.
Absolutely. If you have family in the Orlando area, they'll be planting in the Buena Vista area somewhere right around there.
Yeah.
So the name of the church is So Church, S-O Church.
Yes, we're not sewing. Yes.
Not sewing, but S-O Church. Explain why So Church.
So growing up in my household and in this church, you don't do anything unless you have purpose and direction. And so I knew God called us to plant the church, and I'm just sitting here asking God, okay, but why do you want this church to exist? What are we going to call this? Why do you want it to exist? And as clear as day, God is just speaking to me going, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I need you to be in that city. I need this church to be in the city so they may have life. And so that is what so is. It's so they may have life. It doesn't hurt that SO, South Orlando.
That helps too.
And that kind of thing
too. I like that. So talk about today. We are in a 4-year partnership is what we've committed to JD. It's our goal to fully fund our commitment to JD and his church today. Like that would be a God move today. And JD, talk about what their generosity will be able to do when they give to the Decade of Love offering.
Yeah, so Orlando it's a city of dreamers. They're always dreaming about what's next. And one of the last times I was actually in Northwest Arkansas was for the commissioning of this campus. And your dad was preaching that Sunday, gave me my life verse when he was preaching. And it's out of Joshua chapter 1. And it says there, wherever the sole of your foot will tread, behold, I've already given you that land. And so we know God is already ahead of us. He already has dreams for us and what he wants us to do. And so you're going to be paying it forward, if you will, to some of those dreams. But we do know some of those things that we'll need immediately of going, hey, we've got to find a place to meet. We've got to get some stuff for kids ministry going on, but we want to invest in the local schools and bless some of the teachers there. We want to do some events out in the community for families so that we can reach some of our lost neighbors and be able to get them plugged in to the church.
It's awesome. Well, we got a surprise for JD today, even though we're committing to several years of partnership. Today, on behalf of the generosity of you, we are giving So Church the first $10,000 gift right here to this church. We appreciate you, man. Believe in me. Excited for you. Thank you, JD. You can have the Mickey ears back for the rest of the service here. And man, what a great guy. What an encouraging word that is. Let's talk about the V very quickly, the vulnerable. Many of you are aware of our ministry at Feed the 479. It has exploded. I'm going to give you a number you're not going to believe, but it's true. Over the last year, we have fed over 138,000 people through the ministry of Feed the 479. We've just been able to invite people back in the store where they can shop. We share the gospel with them. We've seen 7 people come to faith in Christ over the last few months there. And, you know, one of the things we're going to give towards today is something that all of us have watched the news and watched going on in Afghanistan, and our hearts just break, and it's just sad. People fleeing the country, and there's refugees going to all different parts of the world. Part of our offering today, we're going to send directly to what is called Send Relief. Send Relief is the Southern Baptist wing that is really the relief wing of the North American Mission Board. They're ministering to Afghan refugees right now. We'll also hold back some of that money so that we can take care of Afghan refugees here specifically in Arkansas. And 2 weeks from today, we'll do something else locally. We'll do blessing baskets. We've done this for 29 years. We'll give a Thanksgiving meal and the gospel to 1,600 families 2 weeks from today. Now, we say that, and if you've been here for a while, it's like, oh, yeah, blessing baskets is here again. That's cool. Guys, we don't need to brush by that. That's a ton of families that we get to share the gospel of Jesus with. We get to feed and help just show the love of Jesus to them. And this is all done through the Decade of Love offering this year. We're not asking for a separate gift towards that. We're just saying, you want to help us with blessing baskets, you give towards that. To give you some context of the investment that our church makes in this every year, it goes up and down a little bit based on food prices, but about the median range right now is we'll spend about $80,000 on blessing baskets to help feed this community. And so thank you for your generosity there. Let's wrap up here. Let's talk about the E. This is equipping and encouraging pastors and missionaries. I've been so encouraged by so many of you who were, of all of the lanes of love, this one has gripped your heart. And you just say, Nick, I just want to invest in other pastors and missionaries. I just want to help other churches. And man, just shows the kingdom mindset that you have. And we told you that as a part of the Decade of Love, we are launching what we are calling the Cross Church Partner Family. And this is a relationship that we will begin with other churches. They remain totally autonomous. We're not taking them over or anything like that. But it just gets us in a relationship to where we can help them in any way. And so if they need help with children's ministry materials, we can help them with that. If they need help on like policies and procedures to protect kids and students, we help with that. If they need help with sermon material or worship stuff, we get to help them with that. So we recently opened this up to where churches could go and apply for that. You can go to CC Partner Family if you want to just get a glimpse of what we're offering to these churches. But just in the past few months, we have had 22 churches from 12 different states join the Cross Church Partner Family. And think about this, from states like Florida, New York, Ohio, even California, Utah, Virginia, and beyond. We're literally from coast to coast reaching people in that way. My favorite was partner church number 22. Two weeks ago, like I said, I was at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. Right after the conference was over, I had a guy come up to me. He was a bivocational pastor in Pocahontas, Arkansas. Y'all know where Pocahontas is? He's in Pocahontas, Arkansas. And he said, Nick, my church runs 30, and we baptized 4 people this year. Isn't that incredible? And so I was just so fired up for him. But he was almost in tears because he's a bivocational pastor. So he pastors a church, and that's on the side. And his real job throughout the week is he works in the medical community. And so he just, almost in tears, talked about how hard the last 12 to 18 months has been just with COVID and all that. And I said, well, man, reach out to me later. And he did, and we got him connected. And so he is a part of our partner family. So think about this. Not only across America, but across our state, a bivocational pastor of a church of 30, who we're going to get to bring into this family and say, man, how can we help you reach more people for the gospel of Jesus right there in Pocahontas, Arkansas, of all places. So we're really excited about that. As we move towards closure, we told you our first partner family was going to be our Neosho campus. We had 4 campuses about a year ago, and we said our Neosho campus right across the Missouri line, we were going to begin a process of launching into their own autonomous church, and God has done a miraculous story over the last year. Turn your attention to the screen.
Good morning, church. Over the last 7 years, we have been partnered together in an incredible work of God right on the other side of the Missouri state line in the city of Neosho. In Easter 2014, we launched a campus in Neosho, and since that time, by God's grace, we've seen over 200 people saved and baptized in that church family. Last year, during the middle of the pandemic, we had the opportunity to really slow down and to prayerfully consider what is the future that God has for that campus. And we truly believed that that church, because of its spiritual health and its leadership, was positioned to launch into its own autonomous, independent church. And so we began to work toward that. Now, one of the main things that we needed in that whole process was a senior pastor to lead that transition. So we prayed for that God would raise up a man for that purpose. And by God's grace again, he did just that. In January of this last year, we got to welcome our new senior pastor for this campus soon-to-be church named Eric Green. And so I want to introduce you to Eric and allow him just to share a little bit about his story of coming to be part of Cross Church, but now what he believes that God is going to do with its future.
My wife and I were serving at First Baptist Boonville when Nick called with an idea, and it's something we prayed about and visited with you on several occasions, and there was just no doubt that that's what the Lord willed for us. And so we arrived on the scene, the church voted, and our first official Sunday was January 11th, and since, we've seen 32 following baptisms. We have two lined up for this Sunday, and we began with an attendance around 120, and 2 weeks ago we were at 341.
It's incredible,
so
man.
So it's just, I mean, for me, an affirmation, but also for Cross Church, and for you, Nick, and Jeff, to entrust something that Cross Church has invested so much in to my family and I, it was just a great honor and something that humbled us. And we live every day excited and amazed to have a small piece of such a significant investment by a church.
I know God's given you a vision, and even you guys have just recently launched your new name.
We've chosen Freedom Church. For freedom's sake, Christ set us free. And it's been a name that's resonated in our community and among our congregation. And so we have purchased 10 acres, and we are in the process of designing plans. And hopefully Easter this next year, we'll perform groundbreaking.
That's awesome, man. Well, as you can see, we truly believe that the best days for Neosho are still ahead. Because of your faithfulness, church, and because of your generosity, we at Cross Church were able to give a significant gift to Freedom Church that will help support them for this coming year. We want to make sure that they are supported as possible as they continue the mission of reaching Southwest Missouri, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.
Cross Church, I want to thank you so very much on behalf of my family, the staff, and our congregation. And as we march forward in a vision, just the freedom that gives us to focus on the ministry rather than making sure that worrying about the finances all the time. So I cannot tell you, but to the staff and to the church, I can't tell you thank you enough.
Well, we're so grateful for you. I'll tell you this, church, I'm thankful to be part of a church that has opportunities like this. I believe that God smiles upon churches partnering together for the sake of the gospel, and we can't wait to do more of that. I hope that you will join with us. We truly are better together.
Man, what a great story God's done there, for sure. Although they are mainly operating on their own already, we are in a financial commitment for another year. We told them we will walk with you for 2 years. So year one has just ended. We're going back to now to year two here. And again, because of your faithful generosity, we're able to help them over the next year. So here's the way I look at it. When I give my tithes, when Meredith and I tithe to our church here, when you give to the ministry budget as well, we're helping not only Cross Church, we're helping Freedom Church this year. And what an awesome thing that is through our significant partnership there. You know, it's interesting when you just put it out there, man, we want to be a church that equips and encourages other pastors and missionaries. God will take you up on it, and God's done that. And so as we look towards giving today in the Decade of Love offering, let me explain four different things that God has dropped in our lap that we're going to be giving towards. The first thing is our Call to Lead conference. We've talked to you about this over the last few years. On a whim, right in the middle of COVID, we decided to put on an online conference for other churches and pastors, and God's just done an amazing thing through that the last 2 years. And we're planning to bring that in person this year and make that, really, we believe we can minister to a lot of smaller church pastors in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, kind of this region. And so we're very excited about that. But let me tell you about the reach of that the last 2 years. We've been able to touch over 8,000 unique church leaders in 44 states and 29 nations. Just crazy. And you know how that happens? All of you. It really is just a picture of your generosity. The second one's a pastor's conference. It's called Mega Metro. It's a gathering of pastors and wives of the largest SBC churches in our convention. We have it every April. And I was elected to lead that this year, which is just interesting timing with all that we have going on with, man, we want to invest and encourage other pastors, and God's given us another opportunity. The third I'm going to be vague about and have to be vague about on purpose, and you'll understand why. We're calling it a global partner training event, and we have to be vague for the safety of those involved. We have been asked to lead a training overseas for over 700 people who give their lives to reach people in very hard to reach places. So from the stage, I can't even tell you where the conference will be located or where these workers will be coming from. But here's what I do need from you. I need 160 of you to go on this trip with me in the summer overseas to do what? To encourage and equip people who are giving their life for the gospel in very hard to reach places. And so after the service today at either one of our campuses, you can go to the missions kiosk. They'll have more information about that. Or you can reach out to our missions office and they will give you the needed information for that. The fourth thing is what we're just calling a partner family weekend. These 22 churches, people like our brother in Pocahontas, we want to bring here for a weekend to Northwest Arkansas and say, man, all we want to do this week is love on you, encourage you, equip you, and send you back into your locations wherever you are in the country. And so we'll be funding that through this offering today. It's one thing we can all agree on. I just gave you a ton of information. Everybody together on that? That's like drinking from a fire hydrant today, I know. Can I try to boil it down to a statement? You're a part of a church that's reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. You're a great church. We have a great God who's moving in ways beyond what we could even imagine together. And today we have the opportunity simply to accelerate the vision. You've seen all that God's done over the last 12 to 13 months. And now all we're saying is, hey, church, let's come together. Let's be generous for the sake of the kingdom of God. Let's accelerate the vision forward into ways that we could have never even imagined. Today's the day to plant some things in the ground that are going to sprout later. Can we just bow together and pray for a moment? We're about to be dismissed. And I just want you to have just a moment with God. Some of you prepared for this day. You've been praying. You've been waiting and you walked into this room prepared. Others of you, you maybe have been out of town and you're kind of coming back in the swing of things. All I've asked you to do over the last several weeks is just pray about your involvement. We'd love for everybody to do something, even if it's $5, but for some of you, God will ask you to do significantly more. You just ask the Lord one more time, Lord, what do you want us to do? Lord, together we plant some things in the ground, like I said, that we believe will sprout later. We believe we never lose when we invest in the kingdom of God. So Lord, put it on our hearts today what it is that we are to give, how you want us to be involved. We trust you by faith to do that in our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.